We're just freshly back from Spiritual Warriors in Bozeman. Since Luke has gone to Bozeman, well, actually, Luke was actually running Spiritual Warriors when he was here in Billings for a couple years, and then has been running it the 4 or 5 years that, which is crazy to think, that he has now been in Bozeman. And so Spiritual Warriors, I mean, you know, Luke's great. He's good at everything he does. He runs a great Spiritual Warriors. It was really good. The theme was from Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you heard a lot of these things come out from the Lord's Supper meditation. Because in that context of Romans 12 is living your life as a living sacrifice. And that's kind of where I'm going to end today. Because it is difficult. But it is a sacrifice, isn't it? You know? I'm one of those families that's here at 8:30 on a school night because I came to Wednesday night assembly, and that is awful for my kids' sleeping habits. But I keep coming because I see the value that's here, and then I just deal with the mess later. That's a sacrifice, and that's a big sacrifice. And many of you, you know, who have been parents and or maybe even currently have kids younger, you understand that. You know, that's a huge sacrifice. But this is what it is. Every day you wake up, brethren, you get to believe one more thing that puts you in last place and puts God in first place. And I mean you're in last place. I don't have to convince you that God gets to have first place, right? But then everybody else gets to have second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place in front of you. Because that's the law of Christ. You go check it out. You ever read the New Testament and tried to pinpoint down, not the royal law, although there's similarities. That's a man-made term, royal law. You go narrow down the law of Christ, the system of faith that we are under. It's servitude. It's tough. Every day we wake up, we get to put ourselves last because that's what Jesus did, wasn't it? That although he existed in the form of God, emptied himself, and became a man, and took last place, and put billions and billions and billions of human souls in front of him. And he was perfect and righteous. The one guy who had the qualification to pick up a stone to stone the woman caught in adultery, didn't pick it up and throw it. Because he never put himself first. That's Christianity, brethren. We live our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. It's acceptable to God. But that's what it is. So, do your best with me if you can. I saw this cartoon picture one time. And you could tell that the setting was old friends reconnecting. But it was a cartoon, and it was a butterfly sitting at the lunch table with a caterpillar, right? And so the caterpillar says to the butterfly, you sure have changed. Because, you know, 20 years ago, they were stomping around the playground. They were both butterflies. I mean, they were both caterpillars, right? Then they reconnect at some bistro, you know. Boy, you've sure changed. And you know what the butterfly's caption says? We're supposed to. You're not supposed to stay a caterpillar, are you? Now, because Mr. Caterpillar underwent a transformation, right, and became the butterfly, well, he's got a new potential, doesn't he? Can that butterfly do things that the caterpillar can't? Like, grew wings and now he can fly. Can the new creation do things that the old man cannot? We're supposed to. Don't you see the picture? We're supposed to. That's how God made us. He made us in his image with the ability to be born again from above, to become new creations, to be made like in his image with a new potential, the ability to fly spiritually. The ability to practice godliness in the sight of God. a new potential. So, now the way that Romans 12 brings this out, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And then he says, by the renewing of your mind. So, what we understand is that there's a transformation that's supposed to take place. Our old man is put to death. That's the caterpillar, okay? But when we are born again in the image of God, he makes us a new creature, a new critter. We're no longer caterpillars. We're now a new creature, butterfly, right? And there are mechanisms that have to be present in order for that transformation to take place. Do you guys understand? You cannot conform to the world. If you are conforming to the world, there is no transformation being taken place in the inner man. Okay? You have to renew your mind. If you do not renew your mind, there is no transformation being taken in the inner man. And that's what Romans 12 is teaching us. Okay? So the kids are going throughout spiritual warriors, and they're hearing things about not being conformed to the world. Isn't spiritual warriors great? Aren't you glad that your kid was there and not somewhere else, you know, watching the YouTube, you know, or whatever? They're at a place where there's just scriptural principles are being taught and shared in exchange, right? So they're being taught, okay, we can't conform to the world. We're going to have to stand out a little bit. You know, as Christians, we kind of stand out, don't we? You know, we're kind of awkward people. We don't look anything like the world because we don't behave like the world. And that's the idea. If life's comfy and everything's going great for you, you might be a little too conformed to the world, okay? Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hates it, okay? If the darkness doesn't hate it, there's a problem, okay? So the kids are hearing things about not being conformed to the world, and they're hearing things about how to renew the mind, right? Being taught ideas for how to form new habits in your life. And these are things that we talk a lot about in this congregation because these are new creation concepts, but it's what Romans 12 says. Do not be live your life as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of that mind, right? What I got to share, and I want to share with you guys, is we need to take a step back when we look at this process and ask ourselves, what's the point? Because it isn't the non-conforming to the world is a mechanism. The renewing the mind is a mechanism. Forming new godly habits and replacing the old ones, those are mechanisms. But what's the purpose? The purpose is to be transformed. You guys understand that? The purpose is the final product. What's the final product supposed to look like? Is it an advanced piece of machinery? Is it the latest piece of technology? It says, don't be conformed. It's a mechanism. But be transformed, mechanism. Okay, by the renewing of your mind, so that you are transformed. What? Into what? What's that? What's it supposed to be? I mean, am I a yellow sports car? And when I transform, I look like a toy transformer? Is that what it's supposed to look like? You guys go to Romans chapter 8. Well, I hope many of you have the answer in your head. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Ever been encouraged by this verse? Yeah. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. You guys see that? Jesus wants brothers and sisters. Jesus was the first one. He's the first one that proves God's plan is good. Okay? And then after Jesus, the rest of us who are immersed into Christ, become his brethren, and we are supposed to be conformed into Jesus so that he can have brothers and sisters like him. He's the first. Do you guys see the picture? So you've got a lump of clay. You even heard it in Caleb's prayer. Allow us, right, to be shaped, I think was, I can't remember, that picture. Allow us to be shaped in the way that you were supposed to be shaped. So there's this lump of clay, and God, if we will not conform to the world, there's a mechanism that allows the transformation to take place. If we will renew the mind, there's a mechanism that allows the transformation to take place. If we will cast out bad habits and replace them with new ones, there's mechanisms that allow us to be shaped. But when we are shaped, what's it supposed to look like? Jesus. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. The output, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus wants brothers and sisters. But you've got to be conformed into his image to be a brother or sister in Christ. Now, the beautiful thing is that when we're immersed into Christ, God perfects our conscience, so it's possible. But then we get to walk by faith as we learn to walk in godliness, not conforming to the world, but being transformed. What are we transforming into? The image of Jesus Christ. So here's the picture that I left with the kids that I want to leave with us. And kind of, I'm giving you the big kid version today, so I'm going to tack some extra stuff onto this. You might remember the story. When I was in seventh grade in school, we made homemade cameras. This is before digital cameras. This is certainly before cell phones. You guys might have had a bag phone in the truck. Those were starting to come on the scene. But there were no cell phones. Which, I'm in that awkward generation where technically I guess I'm a millennial, but a large part of my life was growing up without the internet, without cell phones, without that stuff. So, okay. Maybe at the end, if I have time, I'll add on something. I'll just forget, so it'll be okay. Well, we're raising children who have only known the internet and social media and cell phones. I represent a generation, and you guys represent a generation that a part of our life we didn't have it, and then the second half we did, right? We now have young kids who it's all they've ever known, okay? And we're starting to learn that it's not good for the mind, particularly as it relates to our dopamine levels, and I do think that needs taught in the congregation, okay? So I'm making a homemade camera, and all you need is a box with some film paper inside the box, and then a hole to allow light to come in the box. And that's it. There might have been some little details, but you know, this was in 1997. So, okay. So we took our boxes, we had homemade shutters to cover the hole, right? And we took our boxes, and I sat mine on the basketball court, and I just sat it next to the school building. So we opened the shutter, and we just let them sit there for like 5 minutes. And so light went in the box. I mean, this is it. Digital photography is pretty amazing, but the core components of photography is simple. So I let the image go in, and then it, because it's a tiny hole, projected on to the back of the box where the film paper was, and just left it there for 5 minutes. Then we covered them, took our boxes inside, and then we did the whole dark room, special water chemicals, developed the image, and then, okay. And so we're sitting, and remember, we don't have cell phones that take pictures. So like, as we're sitting there, we're like, whoa, oh, that's a tree, but it's the one next to the swing set. So then we're looking over here, and we're like, it's coming. There it is, it's the, wow, that's a picture. But I recognize that picture because it's what's outside those doors. It's an exact replica of that image, isn't it? That's the process of developing a picture, right? What did Romans say? Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image. Brethren, what's an image? It's a picture. It's a photo. We are supposed to transform into the picture of Jesus. We are the film paper in the box. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ shines in. projects onto that paper if there is non-conforming to the world, a renewing of the mind, and new habits being formed. The right environment is set. And the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians says, shines on us. And that thing gets hung in the dark room and it slowly starts to develop. And what does it look like? Jesus. Now, I know you guys get that. But all I want to challenge you today is, what that image develops into is completely dependent upon the direction you pointed your box. What do you take pictures of? The Serranos just beam. I know what that camera roll looks like. Serrano comes up to me every day in school because he knows I love it. He goes, look! I see you, Asa. Hey, buddy. The goofiest, silliest little boy, and he's moving around. So would you look at him? You go, oh, he's so cute. Okay. What do you take pictures of? I know what my wife's camera roll looks like. You know, when I'm walking downtown and I see a bunch of trash on the ground, I'm like, oh, I gotta get a picture of that. Tag, upload. Yeah. You don't take a picture of trash. You take pictures of the things that are valuable to you. Yeah. How many of y'all have got sunsets or sunrises on your phone, you know? Maybe the sunset isn't valuable to you, although it could be valuable, but it's pretty, isn't it? You take pictures of the things that you think are valuable or beautiful. Where are you pointing that homemade camera box? Where your treasure is? There your heart will be also. So you got to ask yourself today. You got a 1-2 shot with me and Kevin. Oh, I did not plan that. But you got to ask yourself today. Where did you aim your box? And you got to make sure, because you're going to stand before God who reveals all things. I don't get to do that. God does. And you got to ask yourself, am I playing games? Does my Monday through Saturday look different because I went to church? Or does my Monday through Saturday look different because I went to assembly? You see the difference there? I'm one of those people that kind of prescribes to the idea, and look, I'm still working on overcoming, but the idea is, if I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to the gym and half kill myself and try to get in shape, that should be why I don't eat the donut. I shouldn't go to the gym and then say, this is why I get to eat the donut, because if I eat the donut, it just undid all the calories that I burned. And I realized that when I was working at City Brew, because I was running 5 miles a day, and my app thing was saying, you burned 300 calories. And I was like, that's it? And then I went to work and I started wrapping the big chocolate chip cookies and it said 500 calories. And I was like, what? That cookie's not worth a 5 mile run that I went for this morning. Those don't interchange. Look, God's put you in a position where you can conform into his image. And you are here today for all the reasons hopefully Kevin brought out. Thank you, bro. For all the reasons that Kevin brought out. And this is why you should be walking in newness of life the rest of the week. You don't get to go off the deep end, not read your Bible, not serve anybody, not pray, not do anything, and then just play church and, you know, go do what you really want to do because you went to assembly. Where did you aim that box this week? Right? 2 Corinthians Chapter 3. Last verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same picture. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. when you look at God's holy word, living and active, right? Is God's word living and active? I mean, is it different than Dr. Seuss? I mean, it's God's word. And when you read that thing, and in humility, right? That's pretty important. James says we have to have humility for it to implant, to actually get into the inner man. When we read that and it comes in, we're looking at the glory of Christ and we're being transformed into that picture. You see that? We are the film paper on the inside of the box and it's now hanging in the developing room and we want it to look like Jesus. And the only, we can have all the humility, all the renewing, all of the non-conforming to the world, but if we didn't point our box towards Jesus, we're not going to get the image of Jesus. Because you can form all kinds of habits. I know lots of people that don't conform to the world. They're not Christians. I'll say it again. I know lots of people that don't conform to the world and they're not Christians. These are mechanisms. The purpose is the transformation. And when that picture develops, it is not going to look like Jesus unless you were looking at Jesus. And the Bible tells us, how do you look at Jesus? In His Word. Did you read it this week? Now, the other great thing about this is it doesn't come with a Bible reading program. 10 minutes a day keeps hell away, you know. Okay. Well, if you got 4 out of 7 days, you're saved, you know. But if you know, that's not how it works, though, right? Now, guys, come up here, and we understand the transformation power available in the Word of God, and we're begging you to read the thing. We're not trying to split hairs and say, well, if you got 6 out of 7, you're righteous. You know, but if you had 2 out of 7, you might want to look at yourself. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, do you understand what's here? We shouldn't be having to have that, well, how much Bible reading is really the requirement conversation. If you understood the value of what is right here, you would just do it. This new book comes out. How to Lose Weight, Eat Donuts, and Never Work Out a Day in Your Life. Proven, backed by science. You know I'm going to read that thing. And then we find out that it's proven it can transform me through all the things it said. Would people buy that book? You better believe it. Because they believe that it does what it says it's going to do. And the only difference between lose weight, not work out, eat all the donuts you want, is the Bible just uses words that we don't like don't conform to the world, renew the mind, and build new habits. Same thing. What it boils down to is, do you really buy into what it can do? Or are you just kind of maybe more into the losing the weight and not eating the donuts? I know y'all are into that. But if we're choosing, did you read it this week? I'm not asking the question to be like, well, it was one day. Does that count? It was 4 days. Does that? But that's not the point, brethren. When it says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, the purpose of Romans 12 is the transformation. What does the picture look like? And the Bible tells us the only way you're going to get the ending result is if you've pointed your box towards the image that you want to capture. Reagan eating pancakes with the world's largest fork I've ever seen, which is the last picture on my reel, okay, is a pretty cute little picture, okay? We point our cameras towards the things that we think are valuable. You got to point that thing towards Jesus. Did you point your camera towards Christ this week? Look, you can do that in prayer. You can do that in servitude. You do that certainly by reading your Bible. You do that by forgiving. You do that by eating the Word of God and exercising the fruits of the Spirit. Someone write that down and let me keep that one. You eat the, you know, any healthy person's got to control what's going in and then got to exert more calories, right? That's the balance. You're going to eat the Word of God and you're going to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. My wife's the one that actually coined that. So, all kinds of ways you can set that camera towards Christ. Exercising the fruits of the Spirit are one of them. Being kind. Going even further, exhibiting God's character. Forgiving each other. And I'm gonna keep working on this until I think we don't need to anymore. But if you've got a misunderstanding or a gripe with somebody, y'all need to start going to that person and stop going to everybody else. I'm growing a little weary. Reagan comes up to me in school. Well, so-and-so took my toy and they're not giving it back. Now, I don't do much for my kids. They pick up that backpack, they get it into the car, they're responsible for it. Okay? It's my job as the dad to build responsibility and accountability in those kids. Okay? So I don't do a whole lot for them unless they need my help. Because when they come out of my house, they're going to be confident individuals. Capable and confident because they're capable. So I look at her and I'm like, well, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. If you have someone's toy and that person asks for it, should they give it back? As the judge, do I have the right to go into the preschool room and say, return the toy? But I don't want the law, which just exchanges an eye for an eye. I want the righteousness that comes from Jesus' covenant, right? So I was looking at him, I'm like, what are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know. Yeah, and then, you know, anytime you've talked to a four-year-old, but she took it and it's mine. You know, okay, we've established that. I agree with you. And I agree an injustice has been done. But what are you going to do about it? And in a proud father moment, after a minute, she looks at me and goes, ask her nicely? Yes. And then the little girl walks up. Reagan goes, may I please have my toy? And she goes, sure! And she had no idea that's what we were talking about. It wasn't because Mr. Toole was standing there. And in this moment of realization, it was like, that wasn't so bad, was it? Now, what's Reagan accomplishing by coming to me when her problem is with her classmate? To a certain degree, she's a child. I can right the wrong. You need to go to an adult when you're a kid. But let's apply that to us. Someone's got your toy and you want it back? Stop coming to me before you go to them. Stop. What are you doing? That's gossip. And depending on how you do it, borderline slander. Because a lot of you guys make a lot of grand assumptions with all these things, and you got no proof. Aim that box towards Christ. Now look, I'm trying to appeal to you today that the Bible says that that transformation process takes place in His Word. If you want to point that box to Jesus, He says you can see His image in the Bible. Did you read the thing? Is that valuable to you? Or are you reading other books? The How to Lose Weight and you know, win $1 million in a day, and I mean, how to shave strokes off your golf score. I mean, whatever it is you read. How about this one? Now, of course, we can set our faith and our gaze on heavenly things by praying, by serving one another, by putting each other first, by subjecting ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. I am subject to you. Because we all share something similar, which is called the fear of Christ, right? No one of us is above the other. Another way you can set that box towards Christ is by being forgiving. If there's a problem there, somebody's done something to you, go to them. Don't go to me. Go to them. Okay? If your brother or sister doesn't listen to you, what does the Bible say? Then come to me. Right? Or go get a witness. Doesn't have to be me. They don't listen to you. Go get someone. But we got to understand is we don't realize that we call ourselves new creations and we're trying to do this thing, but we haven't done anything all week that actually was looking at Jesus. We just served ourselves and our needs. Well, look what they did. And how come they're not doing this or they're doing that? Or you're supposed to be looking at Jesus. So much more that could be said. Philippians chapter 2. I mean, this is not a part two kind of message. It has a very direct point. I want to leave it there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "My beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Each one of us gets to do that individually. And the way that we work it out is by being humble and being honest with ourselves. As Romans 12 would say, the context from the transformation, let each of us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think so is to have sound judgment. And sometimes that means looking at myself and saying, did I even point my camera at Jesus, or did I point it at earthly gain? Or did I point it at my selfish ambition? And if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We stumble from time to time. Doesn't mean you failed, cut you out. Okay? Mercy and grace are great components of this covenant. So don't beat yourself up, but you gotta think so as to have sound judgment. But it's all a part of this process that every single one of us, including myself, has to do, which is work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because this is the most important thing we have to get right in this life. Amen? And you can never shave those strokes off your golf handicap, and you can never find that donut that doesn't have calories, and you can fail in business, but you cannot fail this test. This is the one test we have to get right. And it's hard, isn't it? It's the hardest thing we're going to do. Look, people don't like to forgive, and they like to complain about their issues with others, and they gossip to other people because it's easier than the scary part, which is walking straight up to somebody and saying, "You're the source of my frustration." Because you also know how they're going to react. Why would you avoid such a thing, people? I never avoid that. Oh. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's really hard. But you know what I figured out in life? Life's hard. And I don't mean that in, like, in the cliche sense. No matter what you choose is going to be hard. I tell the kids, I'm like, you know what? You could study an extra half an hour, a couple nights leading up to the test, and that's hard. And you're going to get a better score, hopefully not fail. And that's hard. And kids don't like to do it because it's hard. I mean, we were kids. We went to school. Who likes to study? There's like 1 out of 100 of us who actually really like school, And the ones who really like school like it because it's easy for them. Right? Okay. That's what we do when we're confronted with things that are hard. We don't like them. Why? Because they're hard. But is studying and preparing for that test hard? Yeah. Is not studying and failing and having to redo the work and graduating at 20 years old hard? They're both hard, aren't they? I'm 25 pounds heavier than I was 2 years to this date. Suppose you needed to know that. Maybe you didn't. But I've been going to the gym at 4:45 in the morning, and I got to tell you right now, it's hard. Going up the stairs, I actually look like this. I gotta get a little momentum generated to get up the next stair, Hey, going up the stairs is harder than it was 2 years ago. Admission, right? Is that hard? Is getting up at 4:30 in the morning to be there by 4:45 hard, and then half killing myself when I'm not even awake yet? Hard? Do you see how they're both hard? It's just hard. What would be the difference, though? The school kid would go through the hard thing because they believe in the picture of the end result, which is passing the test, right? We would undergo the hardness of controlling the donut intake and the exercising because we believe in the transformation that's supposed to take place in the end. Isn't that the purpose? Everything else is the mechanism. Do you guys see that picture? Everything else is the mechanism. And whether or not we are willing to commit to doing hard things is completely dependent upon our belief in the final transformative picture. And if I want to be healthy at 50 for my kids and not hobbling up the stairs, and that's the picture I have, the more I believe in that picture, the more I'm going to be willing to do the hard things, like not eat donuts and get up at 4:30 in the morning. Okay? When it comes to Christianity, you've got to really believe that Jesus is first place in your life at the cost of everything else. And the more you believe in that picture, I promise you it will develop in your own life. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, it's so great to think that not only have you saved us, Lord, thank you for the assembly, because we need reminded. And if we've ever read our Bibles, mankind needs reminding. Thank you for the assemblies. Thank you for the equipping of service that we have received. Thank you for those who have come today with a mindset to stimulate others to love and good deeds and not just to serve themselves, that we would be encouraged and equipped for the work of service. Lord, we need reminded. There is a reminder. God, you saved us. And when someone saves your life, you say, how can I ever repay you? And Lord, you say, thanks for asking. Now live the rest of your life by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for you and loves you. That's Galatians 2. But it doesn't stop there. We don't just need reminded that you saved us and that believing what you believe is more important than what the public or social media believes. Okay, we can do that. But then you transform our inner man into the image of Jesus? We need that reminder. Only made possible if we'll set our mind on Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.